Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 192 of CJ Evolution. Patrick here, host and creator of the show, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. Thank you for tuning in. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women, doing a very difficult job in a very difficult environment. You have much support. Folks, I am so excited that the CJ Evolution podcast is now linked up and partnered with Four Sigmatic. If you've never heard about this company, they are amazing. And they believe in the real magic of functional mushrooms. I'm not talking about the ones that'll make you see pink elephants. I'm talking about the healthy mushrooms that will help us live a healthier, more enhanced life. I got up today and I drank my mushroom coffee. You heard me right. No. Mushroom coffee that you can drink. It is less acidic than normal coffee. Extremely high quality, jitter-free, includes powerful antioxidants and immune-boosting properties. It boosts your brain and productivity. It reduces stress, improves concentration, memory, and alertness. And above all, it tastes fantastic. Folks, I'm going to have a promo code linked up in the show notes. It's CJEVO, CJEVO. If you go to 4sigmatic.com, you'll get 10% off any products you buy. You know, we've all heard that we need to talk to kids when they're young, get them when they're young to help them avoid some of the mistakes maybe some of us have made, maybe taking down or going down that wrong path, maybe drugs and criminal activity. Author, speaker, and youth mover Brandon Lee White helps teens move beyond what holds them back. This guy's amazing. He travels all around the country, talks to kids in schools. He was born unable to speak. He shares his journey from outcast to school president and how leadership and personal ownership made it possible. So I hope you enjoy this great episode with Brandon Lee White. Brandon Lee White is on the show. Welcome, Brandon.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I know you're probably very, very busy, but for those of listeners out there who don't know who you are, who is Brandon Lee White?
Well, I'm a work in progress, like everyone else.
Like everybody.
I have been a youth motivational speaker for about 8 years, speaking primarily on leadership and character development in pretty much elementary through high school is the main age group. And my main focus is taking personal ownership. Own it is what I tell the students. Own who you are, own what you want, but also own what holds you back and move beyond that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to talk about that. But how did you get started, Brandon? What was the catalyst in your life? Because something put you on this path, right?
Yeah, it's a variety of things. But the main thing is, you know, growing up, part of my story is I had a very bad speech impediment up to the age of about 5. Mm-hmm. So kids not knowing what I was saying, you know, nobody wanting to play with me, you know, even within my own family of that frustration of not knowing what the child is saying. And because of that, I had a lot of shyness issues. Mm-hmm. I ended up, you know, gaining weight. I was kind of a big kid in elementary school. But so through that, I had a friend of mine in middle school who helped me become better at basketball through running because I was out of shape. And he ran with me all summer long. And I tell a big, long story about how this friend of mine, he helped me see myself mm-hmm. as I needed to see myself. Like, he helped me do what I needed to do to get where I wanted to go. And after that summer, I lost all my weight. And from there, I was playing basketball. I became student council president. Like, all this ambition came. Mm-hmm. Because I saw something inside of me that I didn't know was there before. Mm-hmm. And through that process, I became student council president, and I went to camp, and I saw a motivational speaker. And his name was Dr. Earl Room. He's passed away, but he made a huge impact on me. And in that moment, I think that planted the seed of, I think I want to do what he does on stage and impact other people's lives like he's doing. Mm-hmm.
And you had, for those listeners out there, you're all over the place, Brandon. Before we went on the air, I talked about that TEDx talk you did. I think it was in Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you were talking about, what people really think about you. And can you talk a little bit about that? I don't want you to give the whole thing away. I want people to watch the TEDx, but can you talk about that?
So the premise is, I believe we all have blind spots, mm-hmm. Things that we can't see about ourselves because we have a hard time getting outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We are too close up on the picture. And sometimes if we can take some trusted friends and get their honest opinions, they can help us see some things that maybe we don't see. So what I did is I created a Google form where it was anonymous survey, mm-hmm. and I sent it out to about 8 of my closest friends. And the questions were, you know, what's something about Brandon that's positive? What's something that he can improve upon? Just questions like that. And I don't know who says what,
yeah.
but I know whoever's giving me feedback, they're sincere about it. They're not trying to hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. So I got the feedback, and some of the stuff I expected, some of the stuff I didn't expect. And one of that was several people said I wasn't a great listener. Or, you know, when I was listening, it looked as if I was already preparing my response, you know, like so many of us do. And I couldn't dodge that because I knew they weren't trying to be hurtful. They were being honest. And since more than one person said it, there was a trend. So I believe in data. I believe in, you know, having some close friends who can give you some sincere, honest opinions. So through that, they helped me see some of my blind spots. Mm-hmm. And I think from that source of honesty, that's where we can grow.
And it takes a lot of courage. I mean, I commend you for doing that. And that's something that I'm writing down right now, because I think that's a great idea. And you know, it takes courage, Brandon. You know that. I mean, you talk about this. It takes courage to do that because most of us don't want to hear the negative feedback or the you know, the critical feedback. So, you know,
well, it takes two things. It takes wanting change, mm-hmm. and it takes being willing to do the things necessary for change. Yep. Like I tell students, if you don't want it, nobody can really do anything for you. Now, I can help inspire. I can help motivate. I can create some desire. But without that motivation of actually wanting to change, nobody can do anything for you. Mm-hmm. Now, once you have that motivation to change, then you're not done. Then it's easy. A lot of people want to change. A lot of people have passion. They really want to become better, be successful, lose weight, whatever. And then from there, it's like, you know, do you know what needs to be done? Mm-hmm. Because you can have passion but not have knowledge and skills, and then you're still out of luck. But you can have passion, skills, knowledge, but without the discipline to actually see it through, and whenever things don't go right, you adjust. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of all of that.
And I think it's important, and you know this, Brandon. I mean, I think it's important that you have the right people around you, because we all have people in our lives. Sometimes it's hard because it's family. But we all have those toxic people in our lives, right? And so I think it's very – there's a saying out there, what you're the average of the 5 people you associate with, right? So,
well, let me ask you this. Yeah. What's the difference between a superhero and supervillain?
Attitude, who they associate with? That's a great question.
Most people would say, you know, how they use their
power,
abilities. And that's a good answer, but it's deeper than that because – you know, if you're a superhero geek like me who watches all the Marvel and DC movies, you know that super villains, they had something bad happen to them. Mm-hmm. They got bitter, they got angry, they became evil. But the same is true for superheroes. Something bad happened to them. Mm-hmm. Superman was an orphan. Batman, his parents were murdered. Spider-Man, his uncle died, and it was partly his fault.
Yeah.
So you have bad things happen to them. And someone might say, it's how they responded to that. Mm-hmm. And that's true, but it goes deeper than that. The difference between superheroes and supervillains is who they had in their life when that difficult thing happened. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man had Aunt May.
Yeah.
Batman had, you know, Alfred. Mm-hmm. Superman had his adopted parents. So I totally believe in... you know, you can't take credit for hardly anything in life because, you know, at some point somebody helped you become that person you are today. So that's why I believe so much in we need to, have the people who will help us become the people we want to be, But then ultimately, they can't do what you need to do on your own.
Mm-hmm. That's it. It's so important. Why are people, Brandon, so many people out there, some people out there just stuck in that rut? Why can't they see that some of the people in their lives, you know, and it has nothing to do with, like I said, if family marriage, it has nothing to do with love. You can limit your associations, right? You just don't have to hang out with those people all the time.
Well, it's a great question, and I think there are several things to it. One is you might want something, but not want it bad enough. Mm-hmm. In order to get something, you have to let go of what you're holding on to. In order to get somewhere, you have to leave where you currently are. And a lot of people either they want to have their cake and eat it too. You know, let's try to get some specific examples here. They want to, let's say, become better at a sport. Mm-hmm. But they also want to continue doing all the other things that take up their time, like watch their favorite TV shows, you know. And do other things that take up their time. Or they want to become better at a sport, but you know they're not willing to put in that extra effort that actually requires it. So you know, wanting is different than doing, like I said earlier. But it's more than that too. You know, it's like I think like we're talking about, the people who are around us, there is a fear of, if I become better than my friend won't like me as much. Mm-hmm. If I become in a different class than my family and my relatives, they might not accept me as much. I might not be like them as much. Mm-hmm. So I think there is something to sometimes peers and social groups not really holding you down, because they don't do that. You do it to yourself. But I think there is this whole like we're comfortable with sometimes with who we are and where we are, or maybe we're uncomfortable, but we're not uncomfortable enough to actually do anything about it.
And I think when you know this, sometimes when you know the person strays from the herd is there to tell you, no, what are you doing? Brandon, you can't do that. You can't go out there and get in front of thousands of people at a time. They're going to make fun of you. Why would you do that? You know, you got to stay here. You got to stay with, you know, stay in your lane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that causes the fear.
Yeah.
What are some of the, you're out there talking with kids all the time, all around the country. What are some of the, and this is probably too broad of a question, but I'll ask it anyway. What are some of the biggest challenges facing youth today?
Oh, I think shyness is a big issue. And even for adults, but teens would rather, and this is an extreme, but teens would rather die than embarrass themselves. And I say that tongue in cheek, and I don't want to be insensitive, mm-hmm. but at the same time, there is this, not for all teens, but for most people, there is this huge fear, avoidance of being embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And you see that with, you know, as early as when the kid doesn't want his mom and dad to be too close when they drop him off at school.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's just so many settings, but it's where it's like that embarrassment of speaking up in class, raising your hand, asking a guy or a girl out. Mm-hmm.
Because kids are brutal. I mean, you know it. I mean, you dealt with it, Brandon. I mean, I dealt with it. You know, kids are kids, man. They're brutal.
But yeah, the goal is acceptance for teens. That is the goal. And then there are some students who, you know, either through confidence or whatever, they seek to stick out in a positive way, and they want to become popular. But objective one is fit in.
Yeah.
And then some students who have the confidence, whatever, then it's stand out. And, you know, that might be for good reasons, or it might be just for sheer pride and arrogance. But you know, for the most part, teens do not want to feel like they are the oddball, feel like they're the loser, feel like they're the weirdo, the dork. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of reason to think that. They do, because there is a lot of that black and white, accept, not accept, cool, not cool, accept, reject. Mm-hmm. So I think that one of the biggest difficulties with teens is this fear of doing what they want to do, being who they really are, being even nice without sticking out in a bad way, sticking out in a way that could threaten, you know, your acceptance in the tribe. So a lot of times people will just adapt.
And I think I'm a little bit older, probably. I know I'm a little bit older than you, maybe a lot. But, you know, we didn't have social media when I was growing up. So I think social media sometimes just exacerbates that a little bit more. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think overall social media is a bad thing. Overall, that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. But there are some good things through social media. Mm-hmm. But it comes at too great of a price, because especially at that age, but really any age, you know, all adults struggle with unplugging. Mm-hmm. But especially I think with teens is, man, they can get that acceptance. They can get that social connection, albeit at a more superficial, shallow level. But they can get it automatically without as much risk as you would with face-to-face, saying something actually in person, developing a real relationship. Mm-hmm. So I think the problem is they're getting rewarded in a certain psychological way, but in a way that doesn't really develop actual or maybe more realistic social skills, like more, you know, in-depth kind of emotional skills.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't care how much technology we have, we're probably going to have more of it in the future. Nothing will ever take the place of human face-to-face, you know, conversations.
I mean, now with that though, let me add the good things to it. Mm-hmm. Whenever I speak to schools, when I get done speaking, I have numerous students message me through social media. And without social media, they would not probably have done that.
Oh yeah.
They're not going to write me a letter. They're probably not going to send me an email. So I've had students messaging me about abuse, drugs, mm-hmm. depression, pregnancy, suicide, you name it. And through that, I have, in whatever way I can, I have helped them. I have directed them, pointed them, in some circumstances, helped prevent suicide. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I would say that probably wouldn't have been possible without social media. Mm-hmm. So it allows a safe, less anxious way to reach out to me. So that's a great thing about social media.
Yeah. What motivates Brandon Lee White? You do a good job at motivating others.
I like your questions.
What motivates you?
I like your questions. It's a great question. What motivates me?
We can circle back around.
No, I want to answer this question.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to give it good thought, too. Mm-hmm. One Halloween, my wife and I were Batman and Catwoman. I was Batman. and when I put on that Batman costume, let me tell you, something inside of me, I don't want to sound like pretentious here. Mm-hmm. But something inside me was like, man, this feels right. There's something inside of me that kind of has that superhero personality type, mm-hmm. to where I want to do something great. I want to do something worthwhile. I want to do something with my life. In fact, my greatest fear is that at the end of my life, I'll have regrets of not actually making my life, important enough. Mm-hmm. And I know that probably comes from a source of insecurity, you know, having the speech impediment, not having friends when I'm little. You know, the problem is I might want to do big things because I feel like I'm not enough. So I understand the psychology behind that. Mm-hmm. So I got to be careful about that. I have to remember doing great things is not doing big things. It's not necessarily doing big things. Doing great things with your life is sometimes doing little things every day. So I can have this thing of like, hey, I want to be the biggest, greatest youth speaker in the world. Everyone knows me. I impact everybody. I reshape the way people think fundamentally about something that's going to forever change. You know, this big grandiose thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what I seek sometimes, but I got to remember true change is in small acts of love. You know, like Mother Teresa talks about, mm-hmm. You know, nobody can do anything great, you know, only small acts of love daily. And I think we got to have vision. We do have to dream big. We do have to, but I think you build a house one brick at a time.
Exactly.
You change culture one person at a time. And so what motivates me is feeling like I have actually helped somebody else. When I get done speaking, and my favorite parts is when I get students to open up on an emotional level. I'm a kind of person to where I create humor in my speech. I do dancing. I do fun. But at the core, that's not who I am. I do that stuff because nobody wants a serious speech for 45 minutes. They want to laugh. They want to have fun.
Yeah.
But I'm the kind of person where, man, I want to get serious and deep right away. That's just who I am. Mm-hmm. So when a student starts bawling and opening up and lets down their walls, takes off their masks, that's the time where I'm just pumping my fist inside. And I'm like, because you can't grow until you kind of like a lobster. A lobster sheds its outer shell mm-hmm. because it's growing. And it gets so uncomfortable to where it finally it sheds its shell because the discomfort is so great. It sheds its shell and then it grows a new shell. That's how it grows, is through discomfort. Mm-hmm. And the same is true for us. I feel like taking off that mask, shedding that shell, is very uncomfortable and scary. But when we do that, we allow ourselves a space to grow. Mm-hmm. So students come to me and they're opening up, they're breaking down. That's when I know that's the growing pains right there. Yeah. They're allowing themselves space to be honest with themselves. And they do that through social media too. Yeah. That's the best part of my job, is when I know, man, I have done something on an emotional level that will change their actions tomorrow, which ultimately changes their actions of their entire future.
Yeah. Because you get them to ask the question, why? And once you know the why, the how will come.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What is your definition of a leader? Since we're talking about leader, you're a leader.
Yeah.
What's your definition of leadership?
I say leadership is doing what you know is right with what you know you can to help others with what they think they can't. So I think leadership is about empowerment. Empowerment is basically you bestow power on somebody else so that without you, they can do it without you. And they want to do it. So for example, a manager. Management is different than leadership. A manager can get somebody through rewards and punishments to do certain things. But you're not really instilling any desire, any actual intrinsic motivation there. Mm-hmm. So when that boss leaves, that person is not going to want to do the job anymore because the boss isn't looking. But a leader is more about that soft skills, the people skills. It's about building up that person in love, in courage, in confidence, so that even when the leader leaves, that person now is strengthened from the inside out to where they can actually go and lead somebody else. Mm-hmm. They can, and I just finished a novel. I'm working on getting it published. And that's what it's all about. It's about this neighbor who was a mentor to this high school kid. And by the end of the summer, the neighbor moves away and a new family moves in. And that high school kid sees this sixth grader. And at first he's just so annoyed by how bratty this little kid is. But then he sees himself in the sixth grader and realizes the whole purpose of his original neighbor mentor mm-hmm. was to empower him so that now he can pay it forward and be a leader to this sixth grader who needs him. So I think leadership is about empowering. It's like having a lit candle, and with that candle, you can light other candles.
Oh, I like that.
And you can light other candles, and it doesn't take anything away from you. Mm-hmm. Like, if I light somebody's candle using my candle, that doesn't put my candle out. If anything, that makes my flame stronger while the two wicks are touching. So I believe leadership is relationship. You cannot be a leader without relationship because it's about people. And you can't have relationship without authenticity, vulnerability, character. So that's why when students open up and they're breaking down, I love that because I know they feel safe opening up to me. And nobody, well, let me say it this way. You're going to have a hard time influencing people in any meaningful way if they don't feel safe enough to open up to you. And I think how you do that is in order for somebody else to open up, you have to open up first. Mm-hmm. So in my speeches, I talk about things I've been through, how I've suffered through clinical depression for 6 years and how I figured out different ways to actually get rid of my depression. And through all these stories, they're like, oh, this guy isn't perfect. This guy struggles with stuff. He's being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that creates relatability.
Or trust.
And trust.
Yes.
So leadership is doing what you know is right with what you know you can to help others with what they think they can't. But you do it from a source of authenticity, vulnerability, transparency, integrity.
Your keynote centers around, kind of circle back what we talked about at the beginning, Brandon, your keynote centers around owning it. Can you talk about that for just a minute?
The keynote starts off, when I first started speaking, you know, I started off as a ballroom dance instructor. So I did a lot of ballroom dance.
That's pretty cool.
And I incorporate that into my speeches. I'll bring a girl up and we'll dance a tango impromptu.
That's cool.
It's about getting outside of your comfort zone.
Oh, taking. Yeah.
So, of course, they're freaking out. They never done it before, but that's the point. It's about doing something when everyone's watching, knowing you're probably not going to do it perfectly. But it's through that experience and through that growth, through that failure that you learn and you get better. So I do a lot of funny stuff. I like, for example, like right now, the big thing with especially middle schoolers and high schoolers, they got this different dance out. And the tough thing about my job, I got to learn like the newest cool dance like every 6 months because it changes. The whip and nay-nay, you know?
I have no idea.
I can't do it anymore. Nobody does that move anymore. It's not even cool. So it's like I spent an entire day learning how to do this whip and nay-nay, and it only has like a 6 month shelf life, and then it's done. I can't even bring it back. And like even the running man, like stuff with like party rockers and every day I'm shuffling. You're like, yeah. That's not cool anymore. I can't do that. Yeah. So I'm always got to be relearning like the most popular things. So the most popular one right now is called the shoot dance. And like you hop on one foot and you kick your leg and you pump your fist. And there's another one called the floss dance. I mean, these are completely like, if kids make fun of what we did in the 90s, they got no room to speak compared to like these two moves because they're like the dumbest moves. But they are kind of fun to do. So I start off with just entertainment because it's about connection. You know, I said leadership's about relationship, and relationship has to have connection. And I said you do that through vulnerability and transparency. But really, I heard a quote the shortest distance between two people is laughter.
I like that.
If you can laugh with somebody, you're connected with somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, you can laugh and be superficial for only so long. I think there needs to, at some point, you got to build some roots. And people usually do that through spending quality time, working on something together, you know, sharing things together. But it usually starts with something fun, some type of laughter. That's usually, you know, if you meet people, it's at a social or it's at a barbecue, and it's not, hey, let's all talk about our feelings right now and I don't even know you. Mm-hmm. It's not, it doesn't really start like that. Mm-hmm. So my goal when I speak to students is that end result of they're just emotionally wrecked and they're opening up and they're seeing things like they've never seen before. But to get there, I got to meet them where they are. And that goes with everything. If you want to have a better relationship with your mom or dad or your siblings, you got to meet them where they are.
Yeah.
You got to say, hey, you want to go do fill in the blank with what they want to do, with what you know they like. Hey, you want to go watch the baseball game even if you hate baseball. You meet them where they are with what they like. And then that creates a connection. And over time, that creates trust. And then from there, that creates access mm-hmm. to their heart and their mind. So it starts with dancing. It starts with humor. And then it goes in with me taking the lead of opening up about my life and about my struggles. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into the things that have helped me, things that have worked for me. And then it goes into call to action, you know, what I'm wanting from them. So that's kind of the formula. And it seems to work.
That's excellent. Now, you talked about, you got a book that hasn't been published yet, but there's another book out there that I want people to know about. It's Don't Be a Lame Sauce. That's on student leadership, right?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
It's for student leaders, but really anybody can read it. I mean, any age can read this book. But it's primarily for students who want to become leaders. And by leader, I don't mean like you have to be in student council. I mean, if you want to be a force for good, if you want to be somebody who helps other people, then that book is for you. And by lame sauce, I mean somebody who doesn't lead their life, but their emotions and fears lead them. Mm-hmm. And so much of our life, if we're not intentional, let me put it this way, if we're not leading, something's leading us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our default is not to do what's right. It's not to do what's the best. It's not to help other people. It's really to look out for number one. It's to look out for yourself. You know, find happiness in the sense of pleasures or power or popularity. And usually you do what's right because you don't want to feel guilty, or you got the peer pressure of people around you and you want to look like a good person. You want to get that reward of feeling like a good person. But I think ultimately our motives are pretty crappy. Mm-hmm. And like anything, if you want to be somebody who has character, you got to build that house one brick at a time.
Exactly.
So that's what it takes. And don't be a lame sauce is like, don't be somebody who just lives on autopilot with your fears and your emotions leading you like a roller coaster, because you're not going to find happiness that way. No. You're going to find pleasure. You're going to find seasons and moments of joy and happiness, but you're not going to have a solid foundation. And success requires foundation, because success in my definition is it's something that is sustainable. Like if you're an athlete and you score 30 points in a basketball game, but the next 10 games you score zero, that's not success. Mm-hmm. Or if you're somebody, you make a ton of money, but that money creates, you know, just a crappy personality, selfish thing, and you just self-destruct over the years, that's not success. I think it starts with a foundation. Okay. And the book teaches that foundation of first comes risk. Anything you want, anything is going to require risk. and are you willing to accept that risk? Then comes responsibility. You know, when you're going after something, and when you, even when you've been given, because we've all been given something, we've given talents and opportunities, we have a responsibility, I believe, to do something with that. And then the book goes into leadership characteristics. Of course, there's a bunch of stories. There's a bunch of great inspirational stories in there about myself and others. It's about leading readers on this path of who you are to who you want to be, and what that takes, and some practical steps and skills that you can develop.
That's awesome. Brandon Lee White, if people want to find you, sir, where can they find you and your book?
You can find me on my website at brandonleewhite.com, and you can buy the book from the website, brandonleewhite.com. I'm putting it – it was on Amazon. You can put it – you can go to Amazon, but I think the old edition is on Amazon.
Okay.
And we're getting the new edition on there. The new edition should have a picture of me on the cover.
It looks like a –
yeah, a picture of me with a cape. Awesome. So remember the superheroes and supervillain things we discussed at the beginning of this conversation? Yeah. It has some of that themes throughout the book. So make sure you get the latest edition, because there's even some personality assessment stuff in there as well, which is some great content. So brandonleewhite.com, social media, youth mover. One word, youth mover. Because I believe before you can move anyone on the outside, they got to be moved on the inside. And when I move youth, I move them on the outside. We do a bunch of fun dance stuff.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I move them on the inside. And that creates the actual movement in their life, which takes them in a better direction.
That's awesome, Brandon. You're doing amazing work, by the way. Keep doing what you
I'm
were
blessed
doing.
And I'm really blessed. And I just, like I said, I'm a work in progress.
Yeah, well, we all are. But much success to you, sir. And any final thoughts, really quick, or advice?
Final thoughts are, don't be too hard on yourself. You know, none of us can do everything on our own. But, nobody can do something for you that you have to do on your own. So just realize, hey, like, we need each other. Like, we are made to, we are a creature that's meant to be in community, and be mindful of the community you have around you, but also realize that you play a part in that community. You have a part to play.
Excellent. Well, Brandon Lee White, thank you again, sir, for coming on the show. Again, much success to you in the future, and take care, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.